Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor, and Ken and Phil are not here this week, but I do have one very, very pleasant announcement, and that is with the first pick in the special guest host draft, I have chosen from the Teamsters Local 301, Mike Hafner. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's great to have you in. So, Mike, I said you're from Teamsters Local 301. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you all do? Tell us a bit about the union.
Local 301 is out of Waukegan, Illinois. We cover Lake and McHenry County. We're a general local, and I'm the principal officer. I've been inside, as they call it, since 05. Before that, I worked at Meyer Material in McHenry.
Okay.
Started out an articulated dump. I know Jim Sweeney doesn't want to hear me say that, but I drove that for a while inside the gravel pit, and then moved into the ready mix division and was a backup plant operator and everything in McHenry. So that's who I am, and now I'm the chairman of the Health and Welfare and Pension Fund of Local 301. And you know, we're going to have a good guest today to talk about healthcare.
That's right.
I understand.
Yeah, we've got Stu Clark, the CEO of Premise Health, coming in, who is always sort of on the cutting edge of developments and innovation in the healthcare
yes,
space.
Yes, they are.
Ooh. So, yeah, I mean, we know each other, Mike, through a number of things, but you participate, your union's a member of the National Coalition of Labor, and you are some of our more enthusiastic participants in the health centers, the shared health centers for our members.
Yeah, that's the NCL is something that Local 301 got into. I want to say it was about 18 months ago, or I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
And it has just been awesome. I mean, aside from everything the NCL gives our members, the clinics that our members have access to now, and the healthcare is just it's off the chart. And you're talking about chiropractic care, you're talking about physical therapy, mental health, primary care, everything.
And they're getting it all for free.
And they get it for free. boy, I'll tell you what, they like that, but. The come for the free care, leave knowing that you got the best care, you know, and that's really what they're saying. The local 301 members are very, very happy over this. And anybody that's listening that hasn't gone to them yet, I tell you what, you need to go, and you're going to find out when we have our time with Stu here why. I mean, this guy is really something.
Yeah, well, right on. I couldn't have said it better myself, Mike. Now, you just got back from NABTU, the North American Building Trade Union. Every year they have their big legislative conference. Everybody's there. So you were there for the last couple of days. How are things looking in D.C., my man?
Well, it was a good conference, and you know, the networking out there is invaluable. You know, McGarvey was saber rattling and talking about a lot of things, and you know, he was talking a little bit about the Microsoft, and I know you have something to, you know, an AI obviously,
right.
And data centers. Our members are getting tons of work out of those data centers, and man, I can't believe all the work that's coming out of that. And we need truck drivers. We need operating engineers. We need workers now, because these things are just cooking.
That's for sure. I mean, so Microsoft announced that it was forming a partnership with the building trades unions to try to give folks some sort of entry level education and certificate opportunities to learn about AI and how to work with AI systems. And in my head, I'm thinking, I mean, that's great, because there are a lot of folks who are going to need this. But at the same time, I mean, working in the trades is one of the safest jobs, I've got to think, when it comes to, you know, people getting displaced by AI, because you can't just give AI a hammer or put it in the cab of a machine or a truck or anything like that and have it do a reliably good job for you.
No.
Certainly, at least not yet. Hope never.
Never. It's never going to happen. You can't replace that. I, frankly, I'm not a big fan of AI, but, you know, who really is?
Right.
You know, it's here, and we have to accept it. But when you're talking about driving a truck down the road, or when you're talking about operating a backhoe or something like that, No, we're not going to have machines in there, you know, or computers or AI or anything. We're going to end up with big, big trouble in that world. I'm like, oh my goodness, how is this right? These are all jobs.
Yeah.
And that's our members' jobs. We need to protect those. Not only do we need to protect the public, we need to protect our jobs.
Well, I think it's crazy that it has been sort of, it's become a minority position, meaning like, you know, we're in the minority advocating as humans for humans to have these jobs. People are like, no, that's crazy. It's like, we've got to look out for people. So, all right, well, we've got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have Stu Clark from Premise Health coming in to chop it up about healthcare. So stay with us right here on The Worker's Mic on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back to The Worker's Mic, everybody, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with special guest host Mike Hafner, and we're excited to welcome a guest and a longtime dear friend of the show into the studio, and that is Stu Clark, the CEO of Premise Health. So welcome back, Stu.
Thanks, Ed. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's, we haven't seen you in a little bit, but you've been busy as always, you know, with you know, Nearsight Centers and everything that you do with Premise Health. So just as kind of a reminder for our listeners and the union members who are listening, tell us again a little bit about Premise Health and what you do.
You bet. Well, Premise Health is what's called a direct healthcare company, meaning we contract directly with unions, employers, large organizations to provide what we call advanced primary care, which is, you know, family medicine, pharmacy, and behavioral health. We bring it to the work site or to the community where the families live. We live outside of the traditional healthcare system, and so we create easy access. We provide high quality, meaning we spend as much time as we need to with the patient, and we're paid directly, in this case, by the unions. And so we're not beholden to the health plan. We're not beholden to the government for reimbursement. We can always do what's right for the customer, the patient. So we do this at over 900 locations across the country in 48 states.
I mean, you've got companies like Google and, you know, some real juggernauts. But then also, I mean, what this looks like for the trades and for unions around Chicago is you've got unions individually that have health centers on their campuses. But then also through the National Coalition of Labor, we've opened up, I think it's about a half dozen centers that unions share. You know, if they don't have a huge population, they can kind of bind together, right, and get great health care that's, like you were saying, affordable and that is a lot more accessible. Because, you know, anybody out there listening, if you've tried to get a new primary care physician or just tried to get into a doctor, you know, if you don't feel good waking up one morning and you call your doctor for an appointment, you're probably not getting that until you're healthy again, right?
Yeah, that's right, Ed. In fact, we keep a close eye on different regions of the country and how long it takes to actually find a primary care doctor if you don't have one. And I think here in Chicagoland, it's as much as 90 days.
No kidding.
And that's probably on the short end of it. So, yeah, for sure, there's an access problem.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about access, because if you can't get into your primary care physician and people get sick, then people never stop getting sick. What are people doing?
You know, I think it was 10 years ago, 85% of primary care was delivered by primary care physicians, your PCP, if you will. Because there are so few primary care physicians today, and that number is getting smaller by the year, I think nearly as much as 50% of primary care is being delivered in these urgent care centers or in the emergency rooms. And that's not primary care. So it's, yeah, there's an access crisis right now.
That's like going for a steak dinner at McDonald's. I mean, that's not what you want to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not how you prevent chronic conditions. That's not how you help people start to change their lives. You know, it's very transactional in these urgent care and emergency departments. They're not set up to provide primary care. Yeah, it's Mike, we were talking a little earlier. It's what Premise calls treat them and street them.
Yeah.
Or doorknob medicine.
Right.
Doc's hanging on the doorknob to get out because he's got, you know, 35 people in the waiting room.
That's the one thing that struck me the most, because I hate to say it, but my former PCP, he was that way. His hand was on the door when he walked in, and I literally had to write stuff down, and I always forgot something because I knew my time was limited. He was out the door before he got in.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that we go to Premise Health and I go to Premise Health, Dr. A up there, you know, we sit down and the first words out of her mouth is, "What'd you have for breakfast?" And I'm thinking, why is she making small talk? She's not making small talk.
No, she's not.
It's just the start of it.
That's right.
And sit down because you're going to get a lot more questions. And it's working for me, I'll tell you. I couldn't be happier.
That's great to hear.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed with the operator's health center in Countryside when I've used it is, you know, you get a lot of time. Because to your point, Mike, I had a doctor when I was in my 20s who he'd walk over, he'd have his hand on the doorknob, and he'd look at me kind of like, "You don't have any more questions, right?" It's like, well, now I feel bad, so no, I don't have any questions. Like, why did I expect to get treated here? But at the health center, they give you a half an hour for an appointment. And so whatever I'm in there for, if it's like a cough or a cold or whatever, you talk through that, and then the doctor's like, "Well, what else is going on? What else are you feeling? You got any other issues?" And it's like, wow.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody ever asked me that
before. It's the full thing. It's top to bottom. And the members realize that as well. I mean, I couldn't wait to get here to tell you. There was a guy was just at a ratification meeting a couple Sundays ago, and the guy said, "You know, I'd never gone to the doctor in 50 years. I've never been to the doctor." And I'm looking at him. I'm going, "Oh, my God." He goes, "But my wife said, let's try this out." He goes, "It was really cool." And that's the guy we were trying to capture when we started this, because those are – and thank God he said everything's fine, you know, but you don't know that, and he doesn't know that. And, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, the down the line, what are we catching before it happens? And we had that conversation, and that really struck a nerve when you brought that up.
You know, the reimbursement system is the reason that we have this doorknob medicine going on. The docs are not paid to spend time with you in that exam room except to treat whatever's right in front of them. And so in the premise model, we're paid directly by, in this case, the union. We can spend as much time as we need to. And that's where you change lives. Okay, so Mike comes in for an earache. Well, we're going to look in your ear. Maybe we write a script if it's indicated. But now we're going to sit down and say, "You know, Mike, what's going on at home? How you doing? How's your son doing?" And to your point about Dr. A, things are going to come out that will then allow our provider to start understanding all of Mike, and now we can start helping Mike and his family move in the right direction. There's no way to reimburse for that in the traditional system out in the community, and that's why this direct model works.
And I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about making it affordable, you know, and the reason you're getting not only great care, but to the benefit funds that are paying for this and the union funds that are paying for this, you know, they're seeing a lower cost because they're not necessarily... You don't say, "Well, you don't feel good. Let's give you 100 tests that we're going to charge you for every one of them." I mean, you're sort of against this over testing, and that's. I mean, you always say when you come in, "We're here to disrupt healthcare in the best way possible." So, I mean, that's a big part of it, and what leads to a lot of the cost reductions. I have to think, right?
It's again all around alignment and the reimbursement system. In the community, there is motivation to rack up the fees, right? Mm-hmm. Rack up the lab, rack up the diagnostic, rack up the referrals. Again, in our model, our customer is the union, and certainly that member patient sitting right in front of us. We get paid the same whether we spend 5 minutes with that union member or an hour. But the one motivation we have is to make that guy better, start him down that road to health. And we don't have to worry about reimbursement. And so that's the fundamental difference in how we do business and how the community does business.
You could not put a price on that.
Can't put, yeah.
There's,
it's lives.
It's not there, exactly.
Yeah.
And Mike, you said something about members who hadn't been to the doctor in, you know, 15 years. And I remember hearing those stories when we first opened up our first premise center, was there are a lot of our members that don't have an assigned primary care physician. And they're just not going to the doctor. If you go to urgent care when you get sick, the person at urgent care isn't calling you back in a week to see if you're feeling better, you know? But, I mean, what's your experience with, Stu, with folks when you open up a center where you get people who don't go to the doctor, really just avoid it, and all of a sudden they kind of put their toe back in the water and realize, like, you know, this is great. I can do this.
That's who we want.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in business. And that's why organizations like yours spend the money to provide these programs, is to get to that guy. And so when we get that guy in or that gal in, we're going to spend a lot of time with him or her. I mean, we talk about 30-minute appointments. It is not an exception for us to be spending well over an hour with somebody who hasn't been in for a long time.
Absolutely the truth.
And some people aren't ready for that big bang. They haven't been to a doc in 10 years, and so they're not necessarily interested in maybe spending 2 hours with a doctor.
Yeah.
But what happens is that's the first step. And the experience they have is that, okay, that was really easy to make an appointment. I really liked the doc's bedside manner. They seemed to really care about me. And they're really encouraging me to make another appointment in the next couple of weeks. And I know I'm not going to have to wait in the waiting room. So maybe I'll come back. Now we got him. And now, and once we have the member on board, we can start to get the member's family. And a lot of times, I don't know how much you see this, Mike, with your membership, we'll get the spouse in. And then she goes to the member, you know, darn it, you haven't been to the doc in 5 years. This was so easy. It didn't cost anything. I signed you up for an appointment on Monday. You better go.
Not only do they go in, and they bring the litter with them, too,
exactly.
At once. And
that's right.
And it's a one-stop shop. The spouses love it, and they're doing exactly that. They're saying, you're going in next, pal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, okay, you know, we all bow down. We think we're tough until she tells us it's time to go in.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, the treatment starts when you walk through that door. The bedside manner, you struck a nerve there too. You walk in and immediately you want to be there. They don't make you feel like you don't want to be at the doctor. Yeah. They're not happy they make you fill out that form, but you only got to do it once, and then you can do it on your phone because the app is very user-friendly. Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. It is absolutely set up the right way, and I know you guys are going to find ways to improve it. I don't know how, but you know, I know you will. But I am a big fan. I mean, I got my pom-poms out. I am rah-rah Premise Health, believe me.
Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough for that feedback. You know, I've been doing this 35 years, and this is very much a passion of Premise. We are on a mission to provide great access in an environment where the system is working against us to get primary care access. And we all have our stories within our own families of where the healthcare system has failed us, and in some cases killed family members of ours. And you know, Premise is there to not just be the primary care provider, but we're your advocate. We're the quarterback. We're mm-hmm. going to help you get to the right place in the community to get that next level of care that you need. And so this is it. We like to say we're on the right side of healthcare.
Yeah.
And it feels good to be on the right side of healthcare. So thank you for that.
And I mean, Mike, as a union leader, you get questions and comments from your membership, and I think, you know, it's no surprise that a lot of the comments might be, you know, complaints about this thing or that thing, or, you know, why aren't we doing this? And this goes across, I think, every union or probably every organization. But when you can make a partnership like this, and all of a sudden you've got members coming to your union meetings or calling you in the office and saying, like, this is awesome, thank you. Like, the union is getting attaboys from the membership for doing this.
It is the greatest feeling in this job when you walk in there. And they tell you how much they enjoy that. And when you hear at the union meetings, guys in the back talking about Dr. A at Gray's Lake, and I'm like, my God, listen to what these guys are talking about. Right. You know, usually they're complaining about, you know, getting screwed out of overtime or something like that, or a seniority violation. They're talking about going to the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something I've never heard. And by the way, when you go to the job sites and you see the guys, they are talking about it. They're walking up to me saying, thank you for that. You know, for all you union leaders that are listening out there right now, you better listen to what I'm saying, and you better get on board if you're not already, because this ship is going, and it's going to go with or without you, because this is the way to make your members happy.
I'll tell you, the real heroes in all this are the union leaders that are bringing this program to the membership. You know, providing access to unions is very near and dear to my heart, and one of the reasons is these guys and gals are... they can't walk off the job to go get care. They're running heavy equipment. They're stringing wire. They're hanging steel. They're running pipes. I mean, you name it. They can't just walk off the job when they feel sick. And what you all have done is you have brought care to them, to their communities, and you've made it easy for them to access it. And you've provided in these programs care teams that get to know these folks, get to know these families. It makes all the difference in the world. It is a real honor to work with you all. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, Stu. And I want to get into the sort of the access benefits that you're talking about, the easier access, but we've got to take a quick break. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Stu Clark with more right here on the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ed Maher and Mike Hafner coming back with Stu Clark, the CEO of Premise Health. So, Stu, before the break, we were talking a little bit about access, and meaning access to care. Now, I don't think there's anybody out there who hasn't been sick in the last 5 years and tried to get in to see their doctor, and it's like, well, I'm not getting in here until I'm healthy again. Probably it's going to be a week or whatever. Let's talk a little bit about the benefits of the near-site centers that you operate compared to, a typical doctor's office for, speed in which you can kind of get into the office and be seen.
Sure. Ed, one of the things we look for is how long does it take to get a new primary care physician if you're new to a certain zip code? Mm-hmm. And we also look at average wait time when you're already attributed to a primary care doc. How long, to your point, does it take to get in to see him or her? The numbers are astonishing. And what is driving that is that, by 2035, we are going to have a deficit of 50,000 primary care docs in this country. And so we think it's bad now, meaning almost half of primary care is being delivered in a setting other than a primary care setting, so urgent care or emergency room. Imagine when we're down 50,000 additional primary care physicians. You're not going to have access. And so, yes, part of our mission is making sure that the health center is located in an area that is convenient for the families to access. And so here in Chicagoland, of course, NCL has five or six of these sites. Mm-hmm. We very strategically with NCL figured out where to place these so that the families, it's proximate to the families. We make sure that there are blocks of time every single day for walk-ins, right, or need for same-day appointment. And because we're not beholden to a health plan or a hospital, we can take as much time with folks as we need, and we can operate on a schedule that better accommodates the workforce. And those are considerations that just aren't made in the typical primary care community.
Yeah, I know our goal with the shared health centers has been to try to give union members a healthcare option within 20 minutes of their house. So you shouldn't, the idea is that ultimately we'd love it so people never have to drive more than 20 minutes to get to a doctor's office. And so we've got them all over the north side. We've got ones in Northbrook, Grays Lake, Elgin, Joliet, Utica, and then we're coming online with the Quad Cities out in Rock Island,
right.
I want to say a little bit later this year. In my experience, when I've gone there and I go there, anytime I, have a weird cough or something doesn't feel right, this is kind of the route that I go because I can actually get in. It's usually I go in the app and I get in the same day, and if it's not the same day, it's the next day.
What exactly is a weird cough? That's
like,
interesting.
I cough if I drink something the wrong way or whatever, but if you get a cough and you like feel it deep down, you're like, well, that's getting worse before it gets better. I feel like I get sick, Mike, every time I'm on an airplane, and I fly a lot. So, I feel like since I've been traveling more, with the coalition, I just, whatever some snot-nosed child has on the back of the airplane, I'm getting it.
Yeah, not to mention they're probably going to sit next to you.
Oh, for sure.
You're all warm and cuddly, though, so they probably want to.
It never fails. Yeah, I've got terrible bedside manner on an airplane. But when it comes to access, and something that you were talking about, Stu, that I think is really important is your providers can ask people how they're doing, and that's important for physical care. But I think in a lot of ways, it can be even more important for mental health. Coming out of COVID, there were all these numbers, and I'm not even talking as much about members, but about children, like the incidences of like depression among preteens and children coming out of COVID, and union leaders all over Chicago were like, we've got to find, this is a problem, it's not going away, so we have to deal with this head on. And one of the things that Premise did was start providing behavioral health in every one of these health centers, which has been massive. So, I mean, is that, I mean, that's the prioritization of that's got to be going up. Are you guys expanding the use of that? Or,
yeah, you know, when we talk about access, what I respond is access to what? So the what in premises case is, you know, we don't separate physical medicine from mental medicine, if you will, right? I mean, the reason a lot of times we're physically unhealthy is because something's going on emotionally and we're doing stuff to hurt ourselves. So if we've got depression or anxiety going on, whether it's with the individual or with the family, look, we're all looking for ways to numb ourselves. So we eat or we drink or we smoke or we shop or we game.
That's for sure.
And this this is incredibly destructive to our physical health and very costly. So Premise a couple years ago took a step back and said, why do these two areas have to be separated? So we're going to combine behavioral health with primary care under the moniker of advanced primary care. And so that's what we're doing. And gosh, to your point, Ed, I mean, we can't hire licensed clinical social workers fast enough.
Right.
Almost every single client has open positions right now that we're actively trying to fill.
And I mean, in the building trades and in construction and, you know, with union members, I think there's this sort of stigma, and it's going away, which is awesome. But it's like this whole too tough to talk thing where if you tell somebody that you go to therapy, they'll be like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, and more, I think people, everybody who goes out and sees someone and then tells somebody on the job or, you know, talks about it, kills this stigma a little bit more and makes it where, you know, you realize like, I'm not feeling that great. Maybe I could talk to somebody about it. So I know that when we brought in a provider in Countryside, I want to say, her book just filled up almost immediately, which is great to see because these are not folks that are necessarily like leaving their therapist for a closer therapist. These are folks who been thinking about it, didn't want to do it, but now they're finally getting out and doing it. So to see it actually happening and it working is awesome because you're getting, you know, these are folks that are going to be doing better. They're going to be better on the job, probably better at whatever they're doing, safer at whatever they're doing. And I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. Everybody has bad days, and there's really no weakness in talking to somebody about it.
There's no doubt about it. I sit on the board of directors of the IFEBP, and about 10-15 years ago, they really started an initiative of mental health, and it was something, you know, it is hard to talk about. And I'm sitting in a room with leaders, you know, bigger than you, Ed, which is saying something, and they're talking about it, and they're talking about, you know, the bricklayers, and they got to, you know, they're big tough guys and all that. And they need to go in and talk to somebody. And it's okay to do that. And when I started hearing some of the stories, I'm like, my God, I can't believe what these people are going through. Well, Mike, you're blind if you don't see it. I mean, you really need to just pay attention. And, you know, what was interesting is like they would, and I went through some of these seminars and we were talking about it within the IF. And one of the things they said, if you're talking to somebody and ask them, are you thinking of doing something to yourself? And everybody, no, you don't want to give him the idea. You're knocking him off his game. And that was something, just stuff like that. I learned from that. And I'm like, oh my God, I never even imagined saying that to somebody. But you know what? That's because nobody's really paid attention to this. And we're starting to now. The fact that it's in that clinic, that's why Dr. A is talking to me about those things. And she might say, why don't you go down there and talk to that guy? You know, and I would do it if she told me, which I can't believe she hasn't told me yet, by the way. But
she's saving it up. It's coming, Mike.
It must have been full, but I don't know. But there's no doubt about it. But I probably do need to. I mean, you know, go in there and check yourself out that way. You know, you go in there to make sure you're doing good physically and all that. How about mentally? Why don't you try that out for once? And guess what? It's free to our members. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we're not talking about here today. It's free. And I don't know about you guys, but I like free. Chiropractor, physical therapy, care, all that stuff. It's all free. They're giving me my medicines, my Lipitor and all the other little fancy pills that they give me. It's free. So 301 members, if you hear me out there, please go to the clinic. What are you waiting for? 150 members, carpenters, we're all part of it here at the NCL. You guys need to go.
What a benefit of membership. You know, I said that earlier. You guys are the real heroes in all this, in making this investment in your membership and their families for all the reasons you just said, Mike. I do think that the too tough to talk thing is starting from afar, I'm watching it start to break down, and thank goodness that, you know, those of us that think we're tough are finding out that we're not so tough in these crazy times.
Steve.
Well, I know. Well, I'm 5'7", and you're 7'2", so you know it's easy for you to say. But it does very much feel like the negative view of seeking behavioral health is breaking down, and that's a very good thing for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we're here to talk about is for our members that participate in this, whether the unions have their own near site or on site at their halls, or if you're a somebody who participates through the coalition, whether it's Teamsters 301, the Carpenters, the Operating Engineers 150, or IBEW Local 134. I mean, these are things that are available to you at no cost. But if you're just out there listening and you haven't been to see somebody, like whether it's a doctor or a mental health professional, or you know, if you're just somebody out there thinking this all sounds like a pretty good idea, you know, you can't deal with a problem if you don't recognize that there's a problem. And that first step, you know, what is the old saying? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time is right now. So if you're listening and this sounds like something you should be doing, just get out and do it, because you know, the first step is always the most important one and sometimes the longest one, right?
Well said.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What else have you guys got going on in the hopper right now at Premise? I heard you saying something about putting your toe in the water to really disrupting healthcare by touching on, you know, trying out some networks, some health networks.
Yeah. So we have two pilots that are well underway with what we call the Premise Preferred Health Plan. Mm-hmm. And I never thought we'd be in the health plan business, you know, but our clients are dragging us there, and they're dragging us that direction because it's gone from frustration with Health Plan Inc. to, you know, something much stronger than that. And so in the Premise Preferred Health Plan, it's quite simple. The per paycheck contribution to enroll is substantially cheaper. Mm-hmm. There is no copay. There is no deductible. The hitch is that you have to attribute yourself to a Premise primary care doc on-site or near-site or virtually. And when we refer you to a specialist or to, you know, a hospital, that's where you go. And of course, we're only going to navigate, that's the technical term, we're only going to send people to high-quality locations. Well, how do we know that? We have all the data
right
on every provider and every healthcare organization in the country, and we use that database to make sure we are sending the member to the right doc at the right location. So what happens is it's cheaper for the family because, again, lower contribution, no copay, no deductible, easy access to these primary care centers, and then we are in a white glove manner making sure that we're making the appointments and getting you to that specialist in the community. The early data indicates two things. The company's saving money. We know the family's saving money, but the cost of claims for that group that is choosing the Premise Preferred Health Plan is dropping precipitously. And so we think we've got a winner with this. And so now it's just a matter of scaling it. And mm-hmm. so we're making big investments right now around the Premise Preferred Health Plan product that I think you're going to hear a lot more about over the next couple of years.
That's great. And I know talking to folks in this space, you always hear that the tough thing is somebody's like, oh, I've got to get my knee worked on. Does anybody know a good ortho? And it's like, maybe the guy who is the best at the meniscus isn't the best at the ACL, isn't the best at the MCL. So having this data to show, like, we're going to get your knee fixed, we're going to get you back to work, especially in the trades, which is the most important thing. You want people better and able to get back earning a paycheck again. But also the job's done right and they're not back, you know, getting a touch up in 2 years or 3 years or whatever. And I know that at the health center, one of the healthcare plans, the insurance plans we have through our marketplace at Local 150 is, you know, essentially this, where your primary care physician is at Premise. And if you get referred out for something, you get referred out by sort of the concierge service at Premise. And it's a popular plan. People like it. You've got care navigators and they're telling you don't have to. It's not like call an ortho, find somebody to work on your shoulder.
Yeah,
you're scratching your head like, do I Google that or ask ChatGPT or how do I find that? You know, I think in a lot of these cases, people, you know, there's a lot of anxiety in looking this stuff up and putting your toe into the water of this. So if you have someone telling you, like, this is the person you want to go to because this is the best person for what you have, I mean, it's invaluable.
I live in Nashville, which is, you know, a lot of people consider the healthcare capital of the country. My wife, unfortunately, was in a car accident, no fault of her own, 2 months ago, where she had compound fractures in her right hand.
Oh, geez.
Hmm. Well, you would think that I would know who the hand guy in town is. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a lot of time to figure that out because, you know, that type of intervention needs to happen pretty quickly. And so fortunately, we got to the right hand guy, but that was a lot of phone calls. And that's with, you know, the resources and access that I have with Premise. God help the person who doesn't have that type of access, finding the right orthopedist or the right hand guy, the right heart guy. So yeah, it's the Wild West right now if you're trying to find where in the community to go.
Now, does your wife still give you a hard time about not knowing the best hand guy off the top of your head?
She doesn't, but what I am wary of is
you got there, Stu. Hang on to her.
Let me tell you, if she backhands me with a hand of steel, you're gonna see it.
You got a great doctor. Paid extra for
that.
I'll
need a maxillofacial surgeon at that point.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, I always love having you in, Stu. I feel like we could sit here and chop it up for way more time, but we've got to take a break. And so thank you once again for coming in. We look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Stu.
Thank you, Mike.
Stay with us right here on the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
All right, welcome back to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. Ed Maher and extra special guest host Mike Hafner in the studio.
Extra, huh? Thank you.
Extra special.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, you do a fine job, Mike. We might have to have you back in more frequently. So we had some news in the labor world this week. Department of Labor, Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez-DeRemer, she stepped down to take an opportunity in the private sector, which I think is Trump speak for she was given her walking papers after. I mean, she had a lot going on, and we've talked about it and kind of laughed about it. You know, she was ordering drinks from her secretary in the morning and on the job and whatever. See, some really weird behavior by her father and her husband, just sort of like, you know, allegedly hitting on staff members in just some of the most like weird, creepy ways. That
what
you
is going on there? It's like
I don't know.
A Capitol kegger party or something.
She moved in the family and her husband's sending texts like, hey, I really hoped I was going to see you last night. Please don't share this text message. Like, if you have to say, please don't share this, don't send it.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, folks, I've heard a lot of people kind of laughing about her ouster. And, you know, she came in as a palatable, labor-safe pick in a cabinet that didn't have any labor-safe picks. So people can laugh kind of all they want about her going away, but...
And careful what you wish for, Ed.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, as I said, call me glass half empty, but I got to think that labor has dodged a lot of bullets. I mean, there have been a lot of folks laid off and fired, and it's been getting fought out in the courts, but I have to think that whatever comes next is going to be worse.
I'm not looking forward to it at all. I mean, it wasn't the best situation, but the whole situation is not good right now. And I'm not looking forward to this. I can only imagine.
Yeah, it seems like as you get a couple years into an administration, you run out of people who have original ideas. The president maybe runs out of patience for people who have their own ideas, and so you start getting the sycophant train. So I just cringe for what a sycophant Department of Labor secretary is going to look like.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. We face this stuff. We had it in Illinois with Bruce Rauner. We've had it in all levels of government. And whatever. If anybody's up for the fight, it's us, right?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
And with that, I got to say, you know, we've come to an end. And Mike, thank you so much for coming in. It has been a pleasure. I always enjoy seeing you. And, you know, thanks again for being our extra special guest host today.
I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. It's cool being down here at WGN. I'll tell you what, there's been some cool people, you know, Bob Collins, you know, think about that. And this is hallowed grounds, man. This is pretty cool down here. Nice view.
For sure.
And having Stu in was awesome. I mean, that guy, I really enjoyed it. And I am such a big fan of Premise Health. And they work for me. So, I mean, they work for our members. And so I'm speaking the truth. I get nothing out of it. So I'm just – and I don't – listen, the on-site clinics or near-site clinics, I think that all labor leaders need to take a look at that aren't involved right now. And you know, my phone's always on, and they probably don't want to talk to me about it because I'll talk their ear off. But really, the members are happy about it, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to service the members. Don't forget that.
Well, yeah, when you can find a way to save money on anything with healthcare, then your next contract increase, it goes to the check or goes somewhere instead of just piling it onto the cost of healthcare. And when you can save money and get something that members love, I mean, it's an easy one. It's a win.
And it's saving money in the pocketbook, both on their raise and when they go to the doctor, because it's free.
Yeah, for sure. So, if you're looking for more info on Premise Health or on the National Coalition of Labor, call or just check out our website. It's coalitionoflabor.org, or give us a holler. So that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you again, as always, listeners, for tuning in, and we will be back with more Workers' Mic for you next week right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.